From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other sort of information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the lines. Indonesian President discusses social economic issues with Malaysia's Prime Minister. The United Nations appreciates Indonesia's efforts to build humanitarian networks in the region. Those are the lines, now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo's meeting with Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad on Friday covers discussions centering on social, economic, and political issues. Another crucial issue to be discussed at the meeting is the discriminative European Union directive on Indonesian and Malaysian palm oil. The president departed for Malaysia on Thursday afternoon after concluding his working visit to Bali province. Meanwhile, Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi had earlier stated that several items on the agenda have been planned for President Joko Widodo and Malaysian Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad on Friday. Marsudi also said the president would thereafter head to Singapore since the Sultan of Brunei, Malaysia's Prime Minister, and the Indonesian President are invited by the Prime Minister of Singapore to attend celebrations of Singapore's National Day. The United Nations Agency for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, UNOCHA, appreciates the efforts of Indonesian government to build a network of humanitarian assistance with countries in Southeast Asian region. It was stated by the head of UNOCHA Operations for Asia-Pacific region, Mukhtar Ali Farah, on the sidelines of the Regional Conference on Humanitarian Assistance, Enhancing the Capacity of Humanitarian Actions in Southeast Asians Forum on Thursday. The Intergovernmental Forum and Non-Governmental Organizations in Jakarta took place on August 8 and 9. Mukhtar said the Indonesian government had played an important role by encouraging countries in the region to respond more quickly to natural disasters and humanitarian conflicts. Mukhtar also hopes that this forum can create standards for distribution of humanitarian assistance agreed and followed by countries in Southeast Asia. The Indonesian government shares its experiences when delivering humanitarian assistance in the Gaza Strip to participants in the Regional Conference on Humanitarian Assistance, titled Enhancing the Capacity of Humanitarian Actions in Southeast Asia's Forum in Jakarta on Thursday. Deputy Foreign Minister Abdul Rahman Muhammad Fakir, after opening the event, said that Indonesia's experience could be material for the participants of the forum to set standards for channeling aid when a humanitarian disaster occurs in the Southeast Asian region. Fakir explained Indonesia formed a kind of alliance to synergize aid coming from Indonesia. Meanwhile, for providing humanitarian assistance at the Southeast Asian level, the Indonesian government has built 6 primary schools, 1 hospital in Rakhine State, Myanmar. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, and the European Union launched the Asian-European Union Blue Book 2019 at the ASEAN Secretariat, Jakarta on Thursday. The launch also commemorates the 52nd anniversary of ASEAN and the 2nd ASEAN-European Union Cooperation and Scholarship Day. In his remarks, Deputy Secretary General for the ASEAN Sociocultural Community, Kung Pak, expressed his appreciation to his dialogue partners, especially the European Union, who have provided economic support to ASEAN.
Indeed, for more than 5 decades, ASEAN has demonstrated our relevance to this region and the world. Most recently, our leaders have emphasized the importance of advancing partnership to achieve a truly people-centered, people-oriented, and forward-looking ASEAN community. Hence, such an ASEAN community, however, is certainly not an easy task. To this end, I would like to express my appreciation to our dialogue partners, particularly the European Union, for their continued support in helping ASEAN attain its vision of an integrated, stable, and prosperous region.
Deputy Secretary General for the ASEAN Sociocultural Community, Kung Pak, further said, the European Union was also very supportive of ASEAN's efforts to improve connectivity between people. This is reflected in the support of the European Union in providing scholarship at the tertiary level of education, student exchanges, and the development of educators' competencies. Blue Book 2019 ASEAN-European Union is an annual publication about European Union cooperation with ASEAN. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A joint investigation team will declare the results of its preliminary investigation into Sunday's major blackout that affected certain parts of Java Island, including Jakarta and West Java, next week, a police spokesman stated. National Police Spokesman Brigadier General Dedi Prasetyo stated on Thursday, this team's members had conducted a thorough probe into the factors causing the major blackout that disrupted Jakarta's commuter line and MRT system, as well as the business of shopping malls and small and medium enterprises in various affected areas. Within 2 weeks from now, they would reveal the comprehensive and the final results of their investigation following the completion of ground checks at the electricity power plants in Ungaran, Central Java, West Java, and Jakarta. State-owned electricity firm PLN has extended its apology over Sunday's major blackout. PLN claimed that it was caused by the trips on the Suralaya turbine gas from number 1 to 6, while its turbine gas number 7 was off. The Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Information is targeting the construction of the Palapa Ring in eastern Indonesia for broadband services to be completed in September 2019. Managing Director of the Telecommunications and Information Accessibility Agency, Anang Ahmad Latif, told Antara in Jayapura on Thursday that this broadband service could be enjoyed by the people in Papua province in school facilities, health centers, village offices, and so on. In the last 4 years, his site has focused on how to develop Papua, Nusa Tenggara, and Maluku, which have similarities with Pacific countries. Gorontalo Province Tourism Office finalizes preparation for Gorontalo Carnival Karawo 2019 in collaboration with the representative office of Bank Indonesia Gorontalo. The head of the tourism office, Rifli Katili, in Gorontalo on Thursday explained that the Gorontalo Karawo 2019 Carnival would be held from October 3rd to 6th. The types of activities include fashion karawo contest and mo karawo traditional handmade, which are packaged in slicing, embroidering, and binding karawo competitions. There are also karawo culinary expo and tourism international activities. Karawo is a traditional embroidery cloth typical of the Gorontalo region. Gorontalo Karawo Carnival 2019 is an annual agenda of Gorontalo province to promote karawo fabric. Well, listener, that's the news.
This commentary is on Will India-Pakistan-Kashmir conflict end? Kashmir, a region bordering India and Pakistan, has been in turmoil for long. The area, which is known for its beauty and cool air, is slowly being abandoned by tourists because the conflict continues to heat up between the two countries. On Wednesday, August the 7th, Pakistan said it would reduce the level of diplomatic relations with India due to the ongoing conflict in Kashmir. They said they would expel the Indian High Commissioner as a form of disappointment. India has not yet given a statement regarding Pakistan's action. Meanwhile, Pakistan even said it will bring the issue to the UN Security Council. Now, the two countries have also begun threatening each other with nuclear weapons. Looking back to the past, the conflict between India and Pakistan over Kashmir has been going on for more than 7 decades. In fact, China is also fighting over the Kashmir region. The Kashmir conflict is the impact of the division between India and Pakistan. The British left India in 1947, splitting the country into two, the majority of Hindus forming Indian states and Muslims establishing Pakistan with their respective territories. However, the trigger for unrest since the past week is that Indian security forces have received reports of threats from militant groups said to be hiding in Pakistan. Pakistan has denied the allegations. However, the warning made tourists, pilgrims, and workers begin leaving Kashmir since last week. In fact, the government of India has revoked Law 370, which given special area status to Kashmir and Jammu. Based on that rule, the Kashmir section is allowed to make the rule of law independently. The Pakistani government condemns India's move to revoke the status of Kashmir privileged areas. They said they would try to fight the Indian decision. Despite being neighbors, India and Pakistan are always hampered by conflicts in Kashmir. Since independence from Britain, Kashmir has been divided into territories for India and Pakistan. The two countries then fought for the entire Kashmir territory. Regardless of how the international community reacts to the two-state conflict that has lasted for decades and claimed hundreds of thousands of lives, the India-Pakistan conflict over Kashmir must receive special attention from the United Nations to seek the best solution. Hopefully, this conflict can end soon. Well, that was commentary today on Will India-Pakistan-Kashmir conflict end? I'm Anatri Jayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello listener, it's nice to meet you again in our regular program Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with August 9, 1919, Iran and the United Kingdom signed an agreement. The agreement between Britain and Iran, represented by the Prime Minister of Iran and British Foreign Secretary, was signed on August 9, 1919. Under the agreement, known as the 1919 Agreement, the United Kingdom would help Iran in the supply of weapons, military training, and the construction of a railroad in exchange for access to the oil field of Iran. However, the Iranian people and the international community were against this agreement, so that finally, this agreement was terminated on June 22, 1921. Over now to August 9, 1945, the bombing of Nagasaki. On August 9, 1945, 3 days after the atomic bomb explosion in Hiroshima, the US dropped an atomic bomb on Nagasaki at the behest of the US President Harry Truman. In a short time, the port city was destroyed and 80,000 people were killed. The impact of the bomb, radioactive material, was also added to the toll. The aim of America in the bomb attack is to beat Japan completely and totally, so as to show the strength of America in the world. The last is August 9, 1969, Richard Nixon is inaugurated as the 37th President of America. Richard Milos Nixon was born in Yorba Linda, California, United States, on January 9, 1913. He became the 36th Vice President of the United States from 1953 to 1961 and 37th President of the United States, and was inaugurated on August 9, 1969. He was the first President of the United States of America who resigned from his post. His resignation related to wiretapping scandal of his political opponents called the Watergate scandal. He announced the end of the Vietnam War that has claimed thousands of troops on January 23, 1973. The announcement was indirectly a recognition that America lost the war in Southeast Asian scene. That was Today in History.
Hari ini
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Well, for listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Ministry of Agriculture Export Agricultural Products Worth 1.1 Trillion Rupiah. Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman released export of agriculture products of 10.5 thousand tons worth 1.1 trillion rupiah at the Integrated Physical Inspection Site CDC Banda Tanjung Priok Port on Tuesday, August 6. The exported products amounted to 80 types of commodities including cotton, mangosteen fruit, zelaka, mango, cocoa powder, walnut nest, and agarwood sent through Tanjung Priok Port and Soekarno-Hatta Airport. Minister Amran said, export of agricultural commodities will continue to be pursued because it is in accordance with government commitment. Agricultural export performance increased 100% and investment rose 110% in the last 5 years. Minister Amran Sulaiman also said, 5 years ago, export of agricultural products were only around 300,000 tons per year, but now the export has reached 2.4 million tons. The minister explained, the key to success in driving agricultural export was the success of changing the system. The Ministry of Agriculture has implemented export document management through the online single submission, encourages the export of agricultural products by using electronic certificates, as well as using the map of commodity export for Indonesian agricultural products. In the digital 4.0 era, according to the minister, export acceleration will be driven by the government with improvements in all lines. Therefore, to guarantee the success of export acceleration, his party has ordered the quarantine agency as an exporter servant. The Ministry of Agriculture also encourages young people to export and enter the agricultural business. Secretary of the Agriculture Quarantine Agency of the Ministry of Agriculture, Arifin Tasrif, said, to encourage the export of agricultural commodities, his office carried out various programs and innovations, including the Agro Gemilang program or the continuation of Let's Boost Export of the Millennial Generation program. This is a joint movement to encourage the growth of new exporters of agricultural commodities. There were conducted training for them, among others, on the fulfillment of the requirements of phytosanitary certificates of export destination. That was My Indonesia.
Sesali entah apa yang kan ku hadapi semua ku lalui takkan pernah berhenti yeah.
kehidupan ini. Selalu banyak emosi coba menghalangi.
Oh, namun detik takkan menanti. Hey.
Entah apa yang kan ku hadapi, semua ku lalui.
Entah apa yang kan ku hadapi, semua ku nikmati.
Semangat ku beri dengan lagu ini. Nada ku melayang, layang menemani. Dengarkan melodi lagu hari ini. Nada ku melayang, layang terbang tinggi.
To leave, people would tell you to never believe. Yeah, the past trying to get you, they were always trying to get you, trying to break you. Just don't live a baby, don't you worry about thing makes you crazy. Yeah, biarkan yang lalu pergi, mari jalani hari yang baru, jangan hilang semangatku.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You are still in, still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, Kuantan Singingi is a regency in Riau province which is not only famous with its cultural tourism such as Pacu Jalur, but also in natural tourism such as waterfall. There are several beautiful tourism destinations you can visit, such as Guruh Gemurai Waterfall. Guruh Gemurai was taken from the local language. Guruh means thunder sound of the waterfall, while Gemurai means water splash. So, Guruh Gemurai means the thundering waterfall with splash. The sound of the waterfall caused by the location of the waterfall is quite high, about 20 meters, with the source coming from protected forest area, namely Bukit Betabu. Listener, Guruh Gemurai Waterfall has 7 terraces with different heights. In addition to having wonderful form, low part of the waterfall has a pond. At the right and left side of the waterfall, there are rocks and forests. The weather around the location is cold and comfortable. To head for the low part of the waterfall, the management of the park makes concrete stairs so that the access going to the location is safer. Then to reach other steps of waterfalls, you can go there by walking and using the stairs beside the rocks. Having a holiday to the location, you can enjoy the fresh water by soaking in the ponds around the waterfalls. Thank you. Listener, Guruh Gemurai Waterfall is located in Kesang Village, Kuantan Mudik Sub-District, Kuantan Singingi Regency. From the city of around 30 minutes heading for Kiliran, Jau, the location has direct border with Sumatra Barat, which is about 3 kilometers from the Kuansing Kiliran Jau Highway. To enter the tourism destination, the visitors have to pay only 4,000 rupiah and 2,000 rupiah for vehicles. There are also facilities provided for the visitors such as restroom, toilet, parking lot, and musola. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition about Guruh Gemurai Waterfall in Riau. We will see you again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Goodbye.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miscellany. Today, Citizen will inform you about innovation of 10 November Institute of Technology. Students of the 10 November Institute of Technology again show their superiority on the world's stage. More recently, a group of the Institute students who raised environmental problems by creating color waste treatment technology won a gold medal at the World Invention Creativity Olympic event in Seoul, South Korea. A group of female students from the Department of Chemistry, Faculty of Science, 10 November Institute of Technology has conducted research and created technology for processing waste dyes. The 10 November Institute of Technology team utilizes sugarcane bagasse from sugarcane iced waste that is often found on the roadside. They heat the sugarcane bake and activate it with phosphoric acid into activated carbon. The activated carbon is used as an absorber of waste dyes. This was stated by Stella Jovita, who was appointed as team leader. She said that the technology that her team developed has been researched since last year. She also explained that during the research process, there were not many obstacles. That is because the topic of this research is commonly done in the Department of Chemistry. World Invention Creativity Olympic event itself is a scientific Olympiad organized by the Korea University Invention Association. This event is a festival of creativity and new technological innovation that are useful for the world. This year, the event was attended by more than 1,000 people from 20 countries. Stella expressed her pride after receiving a gold medal and special award in this event. She did not expect to gain this gold medal in this event because she saw many other teams that had very good and creative prototypes from various countries. That was Miss Lenny for today. See you next time.
Hari demi hari telah ku lalui, hanya menunggu dirimu. Nada demi nada telah ku nyanyikan lantunan melodi jiwaku. Langkah demi langkah telah ku jalani untuk gapai cintamu padaku. Kata demi kata telah ku tuliskan puisi cintaku.
Some suara demi nada telah ku nyanyikan lantunan melodi jiwa.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, boy listener.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from Central Java entitled Sue Ora Jamu. The song, which was composed by R.C. Harjo Subroto, was popularized by Waljina, one of Indonesian keroncong maestro, telling about a meeting between women and men. The song is sung in various versions, but it does not eliminate the true meaning. The song is good and easy listening, with uses unique poem in its lyric. Here is Waljina with her song entitled Sue Ora Jamu.
Saat
listener, we end our Togetherness in English Language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English Language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address at voi@vianews.id.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via onenews.id.